Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
When as yet there was none of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. I want to speak to you tonight about the process leads to your promise. Amen. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I come before you willing and expecting you to do something marvelous in this place, not because of me, but because these people want to hear your word. Father, I pray that you would anoint my lips to speak a word to them that would challenge them, empower them, and help them throughout this week. Father, I pray that you would anoint me to be able to speak into their life whatever it is that would be that catalyst to move them from wandering into purpose. Father, I know that if you speak, lives can be changed, hearts can be mended, and chains can be broken. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. So, about 8 years ago now, when my wife and I were preparing for our first child, Wyatt, he's sitting on the front row, and I don't mean to embarrass him, but we were deeply preparing for this. You know, this, of course, was our first child. Those of you that know what that experience is like, the first one is always different. It's always important, I guess. Not to say that the rest of them aren't important, but it seems like every event is important. You take pictures more than you should, and you take pictures of things you probably shouldn't. You find out real quick who not to have in the delivery room next time. And we were preparing for Wyatt's nursery and, of course, his arrival. And many of you probably know the joys and the pains that come with preparing a project like this. And this especially is the case with the first child. By the time that the second or third comes around, you kind of just say, you know what, we'll find a place to put them. Right? And we were just like every other new parent, and we were overthinking everything. And I specifically remember a couple joys and pains. One pain in particular came on a Saturday afternoon when Danielle and her mother left and they went to go purchase the necessary things for a baby, right? You know, diapers and diaper bags and so on. And she was using some of her money that she had got from the baby shower. And she was going to go use that and purchase the things that she had not yet received. And I said that I would take advantage of this time. And I figured that since I was going to be home alone and everything was out, I would do this. I would use this time to become the husband of the year. So I decided I would paint the nursery. And by the time she came home, my intention was that the nursery would be done and ready to go. And after all, the baby was due in about 2 weeks. So it was now or never. So my plan was to have all the painting done by the time she returned. And my plan was looking pretty good, until I knocked over a full gallon of paint on the new carpet. And that plan instantly catapulted me from hero to zero. Needless to say, that was not the process I was expecting. Fortunately, I was able to get the mess cleaned up before Danielle returned, but that was just about all I was able to do. And eventually we did get the room painted, and I did get the carpet cleaned, but there always, till this day, is this little green tint to this one particular area. A joy in this time was I was able to restore a piece of furniture for his room, and friends of ours that gave us this furniture for his nursery, and it was very expensive furniture. It was certainly furniture more than we could ever afford. It was beautiful furniture, but the problem was it didn't match. Some of the pieces were stained wood and other pieces were painted. And so I actually decided that I was going to strip down the dresser that was painted, and I was going to take it and bring it down to bare wood and then refinish it with the same color that the other furniture was. And I knew this was going to be a long-term process, and it was. And it was a tedious process, but this was probably one of the first times that I can remember where I actually was able to look at myself and say, wow, I feel like a craftsman, right? Actually take it down to something and bring it back to something. And I had a vision for the end product, for the promise. And because I had a vision for it, the process just seemed to be worth the process, or the process seemed to be worth it all. After its completion, of course, this dresser brought many compliments, and it was certainly something that I have been proud of. It was the very first thing that I took down as a piece of wood and took it down to bare wood. Now, life is a process. Anyone that tells you that they've got it figured out, they're doomed. Great surprise. When I say great, I mean large. Life is a process. It's full of its intricate details, and sometimes they come with joy, but not all the time they come with joy. Sometimes they come with pains. But God is a God of the process. And He is well aware of all the details. Every life has a plan, and every life has a destiny. But every plan has a process. God is fully aware of the process that you are involved in right now. Whatever that might be. It could be the health scare of your life. God understands. It could be one of the biggest business moves of your life. God understands. It could be the passing or the loss of a loved one. God understands. It could be a situation that would seem like you have no way of controlling. God understands. Every life has its process. God is fully aware of your process and what you're involved in. And He knows that you're not in it by accident. He has a divine purpose and promise for every one of you. Our text says tonight, it said, "My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret." You see, life might catch you by surprise. Life might catch others by surprise, but it doesn't catch Him by surprise. He said that, the writer says that while I was being made in secret, while the process was quite secretive, you were fully aware of what was going on. While what you feel like you're the only one going through, God is peering over and He's looking at and He's saying, "I'm involved in this process with you." It has not caught Him by surprise. Many times it seems as if what we have become or what we have experienced was all for nothing. It seems like that the process that we have engaged in was some trickery of a divine being that used you for a comic relief. It almost seems as if it's maybe a satire. Or maybe that your life has become this situation where everyone else gets to enjoy it, but you sit back and suffer. But God saw you in your unformed substance, the text says, when nothing of value appeared to be there, when it looked as if there was nothing significant, when it looked as if you were nothing but a ball of clay, and He saw purpose, and He took your purpose, and He designed your promise. When you were formed in your mother's womb, heaven was declaring purpose and promise over your life. Ephesians 2 and 10 says, "For we are His workmanship. We were created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He is the craftsman of your life, and your promise is the product of this process. God has a plan, and God has a promise for every person He created. Your promises are real. They are not some foolish imagination. God has a promise for you. The process might seem long at times. The process might seem dreary at times. But God is just looking at it and saying, if you could ever just look over this, if you could ever just step outside of your comfort zone, if you could ever just step outside of your realm, if you could ever just step outside of the me, myself, and I, and look what I've got planned for you. You'll be able to look at it and say, my God, there's something great on the horizon. My God, there's something new and fresh every day. That, yeah, it looks dreary. Yeah, it looks unpromising. But I know that God has got a destiny. He's your craftsman. Your promises begin with the salvation in Jesus Christ. Then each believer is given a promise that is individual to them. A promise that is destined for you. You don't have to look at your neighbor and say, yeah, it's for them, but not for me. Or, I was just destined to be poor, and I was just destined to be struggling, and I guess I just was destined to be unhealthy. Or, I guess I was just destined to have terrible children. Or, I guess I was just destined to have problems. Or, I guess I was just destined to battle an addiction. And God says, no, you don't understand. I've given you a promise. I've given you a destiny that's beyond what you can even think, ask, or imagine. The secret to a fulfilled life is to discover your purpose in Christ and then walk in it. To acknowledge the fact that you have a purpose. To acknowledge the fact that He's called you into His marvelous light. To acknowledge the fact that He's called you out of darkness. And then say, you know what? He must have saw something in me that I didn't see. He must have saw past the addiction. He must have saw past the past. He must have saw past all the problems. He must have saw past all the anxieties. He must have saw past all the worries. He must have saw past all the carelessness and said, there's something worth in them. I am fully aware that it's an easy statement to say that the secret to life is a fulfilled life, that when you discover your purpose and you walk in it. I understand that's easy to say. And often can be difficult to discover. And that's because many times we get trapped in the realm of the process. We get trapped in the realm of what we're going through on a daily basis. That we forget that the process is just as much as important to your life as the promise. You see, yeah, God could take you from A to B. Or A to Z. But He likes to take you from B, C, D, E, F, and G. Because if you just went from A to Z, you'd miss the process. You wouldn't be able to affect anybody. You wouldn't be able to talk to anybody about problems. You wouldn't be able to talk to anybody about marriage. You wouldn't be able to talk to anybody about children. You wouldn't be able to talk to anybody about how to overcome. Because if your life was just so easy, you went from A to Z. But He says, I've developed and designed a promise. But I've also given you a process to that promise. When you discover your purpose, it makes it easier to bear the process. When you discover what you've been called to do, when you discover that there is something more meaningful to your life than just what you've seen, when you understand that, yeah, you have worth, you have a destiny, it makes it so much easier to bear the process. To the addict who cannot seem to find sobriety, when they can understand there's light at the end of the tunnel and God wants them sober, they can bear the process. To the sinner who feels so low and destined that they feel like giving up, they can understand that there's an end to the process and it's a promise. It makes it so much easier to bear the promise or the process. To the cancer patient who is having to endure the sufferings of chemotherapy and all of the tests that go along with it, when they can understand that God wants them whole, that God's promise is for them to be whole and healthy, they can endure the process. I'm not saying that the process is easy, but I'm saying it's bearable when you get a glimpse of the promise in your life. To the person who has worked their whole life in study and worked, and it seems like every time they turn around, they find a dead-end road, they find another roadblock, they find another no. But if you could ever glimpse the fact that God has called you into something, He's called you into a purpose, if you can ever see that, you'll be willing to go through the process. So let's talk about someone who had a little trouble at first discovering his purpose. This story, of course, can be found in Genesis chapter 28, verse 11 through 18. I won't read it for the sake of time, but I'm talking about the story of Jacob and one of his encounters at Bethel. You see, Jacob, the man who was born into the process, he was born into the process. You want to know why I know that? His name means deceiver. It was almost as if he was doomed from the beginning. Yeah, let's just name him Deceiver. I mean, I've heard of some weird names out there and parents doing some crazy things to their children. But I mean, yeah, I don't think I would ever be the person that, yeah, looks like a deceiver. He was doomed from the beginning. He grasped his brother's heel at the beginning. Jacob deceives his father and his brother and then leaves for a place called Padan Aram. Which Padan Aram means it's an extension or a plateau or a path or a road. In other words, it's basically this pathway that looks barren and desolate. He leaves this place that he has known that's blessing because of choices and people. And he sets off for a path of desolation. And it becomes this process in his life that has no meaning. It's a place of loneliness, a place of drought and parched land. It's a place of darkness full of broken dreams, fear, and shame. And he becomes exhausted in the process. Finds himself a place to lay his head on a rock. This is often the picture of the believer. We left what we knew to go to a place where the place where we were called, we leave into a place that we don't actually know. A place that there is no familiar faces. A place where it feels like even if they are familiar faces, they are as distant as they might as well be from around the earth. It's a place that seems dry and weary. If not careful, you begin to lose hope in this process, and your dreams soon vanish away. Fear and loneliness seem to be the only company you keep. Jacob felt this way. His closest family member wanted to kill him, Esau, his twin brother. And he had to leave the land of promise because of those decisions that he made and people in his life. Sometimes things happen and you have to leave the blessing and walk in a path of a process. And I'm not telling somebody in here, oh, get ready for failure. Get ready for desolation. I'm talking to some people that are walking in a process right now. I'm here to talk to some people that are going on a path that seems lonely and desolate. That you're not sure if you have the strength to get over it. That you're not sure if you have all the answers. And you're in the midst of the process and you're saying, why? God, have you walked, you led me out into this wilderness? Did you lead me out here to die? He finds himself at a place called Bethel. Point one. I learn fast. The direction back to your purpose begins with a dream. Throughout the Gospels in the book of Acts, purpose was instigated by the moving of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit quickens you and reminds you of your purpose. It will then take you through the process and release you into your promise. I don't know if you heard that. Let me just re-say that for you. The Holy Spirit quickens you and reminds you of your purpose. It will then take you through the process and release you to your promise. The Bible says, I will send the Holy Spirit, which will be a comforter unto you. It comes alongside you. The Holy Spirit comes to you and says, listen, I'm here for you. We're going to get through this. We're going to make it through this. You're not all alone. I'm here for you. I'm not against you. And nothing can stand in our way. Acts 2 and 17 says, and in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. I'm talking about a pathway to your promise. You see, it starts with prophecy. Prophecy, when you begin to prophesy, that's when you begin to have or speak under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you got to speak to the process and say, I know this is all for my promise. Sometimes you got to get up and you got to say, listen, devil, you might mean this for bad, but what you meant for bad, God meant for good. You think this is going to destroy me? This is going to catapult me to my promise. What you think is going to let me down? You are just God's lifting me up. What you think is going to take away all my joy? It's just restoring back fresh joy to me. Hallelujah. Sometimes you got to call those things that are not as though they were. Sometimes you got to say, I speak sanity in Jesus' name. I speak health in Jesus' name. I speak wholeness in Jesus' name. I speak prosperity to my family in Jesus' name. I speak life in Jesus' name. You got to be willing to speak things that you don't even see. You got to be willing to call them out of the air and say, my word, the word of God says it, I believe it, and that settles it. Then you move into the realm of visions. And you see visions. This is the ability to see past the fog. This is the ability to see past the darkness. This is the ability to use divine inspiration. It's when you see things others don't see. They see failure and you see promise. It's when you see a miracle on the horizon and they see disaster. It's when you hear the sound of the abundance of rain and they hear drought. Visions come to those that are saying, I'm going to let the Holy Spirit guide me. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit comfort me. I refuse to be a victim any longer. I refuse to be caught up in the process. This process is for my good. I know, God, you've got an answer through all this. And you say, I see it. I see it. I see the promise. I see the promise on the horizon. Don't expect everyone else to see what you see. Don't expect everyone else to see you in the process. Don't expect everyone else to grasp what God's doing in your life. Don't expect everyone to get on the train with you. Don't expect everyone to say, yeah, I believe you've done this. I believe this is for real. Let me tell you, there are a lot of them that said when I came to church, they said it won't last 6 months. Well, listen, it's been a lot longer than 6 months, and I'm still here. There's been some of you in here, they said it won't last. It won't last. I know what they've been through. I know what their life pattern's like. They don't know the process. Then you move into dreams. You see, dreams are totally different. These are visions you receive when consciousness no longer appears present. When consciousness no longer looks present. These are dreams you get when it looks like you're dead. When it looks like you've succumbed to the process. And you're laying there, stagnant, with no life left. You're laying there like nothing else matters. You're laying there like everybody just walks past you and they've all given up on you. And it looks like you just fell asleep or even died. But you're still dreaming. You're saying, you know what? This feels like death, but I know there's a promise. This feels and even looks like the end, but I know what my God said. And that's called a dream. This is when you have become so overwhelmed with exhaustion, yet you're still receiving revelation. And you are at the brink of giving up, but you're saying, I will not give up. In the middle of this desolate place, in the middle of your exhaustion, in the middle of this path that seems like it leads to nowhere, you're still calling on God and saying, you're the God of the process, and my promise is on the other side. In the middle of the desolate place. See, Jacob comes to this desolate place. Padan Aram was a very large region. And he finds this one little place called Luz. Which Luz doesn't really have a whole lot of meaning. It just means the place of the almonds. And I imagine he went there because he was in a dry and dreary place in his life. And he knew that almonds sprouted in the midst of winter. So he goes to this place called Luz, and he finds God. He realizes that you're there with me, that I'm not alone. And he renames it Bethel, which means the house of the Almighty God. I'm here to tell somebody, you need to look at your present address, this address of desolation, and say, I'm going about to rename you. I'm about to change the name. I'm about to change the numbers on the side of the house right now. It looks desolate. What you say right now is desolate. I'm about to say that God is moving. This is the house of God. The presence of God lives here. It's about saying things when everybody, listen, honey, they're going to call you crazy, but that's all right. You're in this place right now. They drove by and saw your car in the parking lot. You're already crazy. It's over. You might as well own it and say, you know what? They already think I'm crazy. I might as well just speak to the devil like I got no sense left and say, my God, it's a God of the process. You've got to rename your circumstance sometimes. You got to say, you know what? Yeah, you say cancer, I say God's got it. You say devastation, I say chance for rebirth. You say anxiety, you say overwhelming depression, I say God's got an answer. You say it's over, I say it's just begun. I'm talking about some people that'll stand in the middle of the desolation and say, my God has got this. My God knows my address. Hallelujah. Point number two. The process leads to the promise. Remember, not everyone will catch your dream. You see, Joseph's problems actually began when he started expressing his dream. That is because he was expressing the dream before the process had been completed. Most will not honor your dream until they have seen the process through you. But there are also those whom Satan has sent to discourage the dream. Every time it seemed as if the dream was over, it would say of Joseph, but the Lord is with him. God will be with you throughout the process. A couple things to remember about the process. God's processes always begin with leaving the familiar. Jacob had to leave Beersheba. Joseph had to leave Canaan. When you go through the process, don't expect for God to say, it's okay, you can just sit right there, and I'm just going to let you go through this without any discomfort. It's not going to happen. And I'm not saying that God's going to bring you to the point of complete breakdown. What I'm saying is God's going to allow you to get the process. And that sometimes means leaving your comfort zone. But let me tell you what happens when you leave your comfort zone. You can't possibly affect a world when you stay in one place your whole life. You can't possibly affect someone new when all you do is look at the same faces all your life. He causes you to leave your comfort zone so he can catapult your ministry. God's process, number two, always involves recognizing God is with you. Jacob does this at Bethel and Joseph in the pit and in prison. God is with you in the process. Number three, God's process always comes from the word he speaks to you. It is began with the word he speaks. You see, Jacob's began at birth, and that started a process. Joseph's began when he began to dream what the word of God was telling him, and that started the process. You see, the trouble is often spurred by the word of God. Not because he's leading you down destruction, but because he's saying, I got this. I'm steering this. Don't worry about it. Yeah, it may seem like you're about to lose it, but I got this. I'm steering the cart, honey. Just let me steer it. You can close your eyes if you like, but you'll just miss it if you do. The process was designed to develop trust in God. If you want the favor of God, the only way you're going to have the favor of God is through trusting God. And then he's able to trust you with his promise. Let me ask you this. Would you give your keys to a stranger? I mean, it depends on what you drive, maybe. But if you're driving a Mercedes or a Cadillac, would you give your keys to a stranger and say, here, take it for a spin? I don't think so. Whatever you do, don't give them to Popeye. You won't. But you give them to someone you trust. Now, for every person, that's different. But the point is if you trust them, you'll trust them with your possessions. It's the same thing with God. He trusts you with favor. When you begin to trust him, it opens up the door for his trust in you. And the way God develops more trust in you is through the process. It's also the way others develop more trust in you. Now, believe it or not, I'm wrapping up. Let me give you three nevers for godly dreamers. Never use your age or your past as an excuse to refrain from dreaming. Too many times we say, I can't because. I will not because. Yeah, in another life, maybe. How many times have we ever said that? Don't ever let your age or your past refrain you from still dreaming. Number two, if your dream only involves yourself, then it's too small. God's dreams never only involve yourself. If they do, they're your dreams. Never believe that God has only given you purpose for your life only. God has given you purpose for those that are around you because he wants you to connect. He wants you to love others because sometimes it means you got to learn other things. And like how not to slap somebody. Those things happen. God's dreams are based upon the whole body of Christ. Your dreams are to be attached with other people's dreams. Number three, never, and I want you to hear this, never, never quit on your dream because of opposition. If we are true dreamers of God, we will lose some things, but we will gain so much more. Never quit because you faced a hurdle. Never quit because you faced distractions. Never quit because it cost you some sweat and some tears. But dig in and say, I'm here for the process, God, because I know on the other side of this is a promise waiting for me. Hallelujah. Come on, give him praise. Hallelujah. I want to tell you this too. I don't believe it's God's will for you to have to wait to the rapture for your promise to be fulfilled. God has promises for you here right now, today. He has promises for your life. Now, I'm going to be a little transparent with you. I'm going to talk to you, tell you one last thing and one little story, and this one's personal. You see, my process to going into full-time ministry, for me, didn't happen as quickly as I wanted it to. For me, I thought it was going to be 10 years ago or so. And I said, well, God, I prayed. God, I fasted. Matter of fact, fasting is what got me here. I said, God, you know me. You know my heart. You know my desire. And every time I turned around, it looked like I was going down here. I was going down here. I was going this way. I was going this way. I would get what felt like stuck. You get into a mode and you feel like you're stuck. You feel like, well, now I have to provide for my family. I have to do this. I'm stuck. And you feel like that I guess God, and I even said this, maybe that's not what you have for me. But one day, not in a way I thought it was going to happen, I got a phone call from someone who said, can we go for a ride? I got to talk to you. Now, yeah, there's a lot of heartaches that were involved in the whole situation. And again, it wasn't the way I wanted it to happen. But God knew He set it up. Now, let me tell you a little bit about why I know God did it that way. Because in the last 10 years, I've went through situations. I've been placed in positions of authority. I've been given unto studies that I probably would not have done. And the whole time I thought it was me driving the cart. But it was His process. Everybody stand in this place. Spirit Life team, if you'd make your way up here. I want to speak to somebody tonight that if you feel like you're caught up in the process, and you have no idea where you're going, and it seems as if there is no answer to this cycle you're on, would you come up here and allow us to pray for you? Right now, wherever you're at, come on forward, come on forward. Let us pray for you. I believe tonight that the cycle is about to have some direction. Amen? Holy Spirit, have your way right now. There's someone in here tonight, you feel like that you have gotten a negative health report and it's almost defeated you. So you want God to move. And you still believe that there is a promise on the other side of this. Would you come forward right now? Hallelujah. If you're in here and you feel like you're trapped, you're locked in a situation that you don't know the answers to, but you know God's got to have a plan, would you come forward? Hallelujah. 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 Right where you're at, bow your head, close your eyes right here. I want to give you the opportunity right now that maybe you didn't come forward, but you're saying, you know what? This process I'm in, I don't really understand. God, are you in this? Or is this something I've created? If that's you, would you raise your hand right now? Hallelujah. I see those hands. I see those hands. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray for you right now. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I profess right now that the cycle is over. I pray that you give divine direction and wisdom right now. I pray, Lord, that when they wake up with a dream, a vision, and a plan. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can stay in worship. You're dismissed if you like. We're going to pray around the altar.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.